All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. Today, I'm breaking down my 53-man roster prediction of the Atlanta Falcons heading into training camp. We're going to be posting an article up on lockedonfalcons.com, and today you're going to get, you know, some supplemental content breaking down that specific article.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman of FalFans.com, been covering the Atlanta Falcons for over a decade. You can find me on Twitter at FalFans, and of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Now, depending on when you listen to this, we are roughly T-minus 96 hours from the Falcons' first training camp practice on Friday. We'll see if Julio Jones shows up, but if you want to get why I think he will definitely be there and be taking the field on Friday morning for the Falcons, you can check out the article I wrote on over last week on Thursday, I think it was, titled Why I Think Julio Jones Won't Hold Out from Falcons Training Camp. You can check that out on LockedOnFalcons.com. Speaking of content on LockedOnFalcons.com, whether you read that after the Julio Jones article or before the Julio Jones article, if you already read it or whatever, there's also another article up on LockedOnFalcons.com as of Monday morning, which is my prediction and breakdown on how I think the Falcons 53-man roster will look like at the end of training camp, heading into training camp. So this is today's episode is going to be some supplemental content for me breaking that down. I posted one of these roster predictions, you know, titled the post-draft edition at the end of May on LockedOnFalcons.com. And I'll admit here that, you know, if you read that article, there's not going to be a whole lot of wholesale changes. There's only really three players that I switched from that prediction back in late May to now that we're in late July. I think I need to check this, but I know, I think last year, I think I got like 48 out of the 53 players on my pre-camp roster prediction over at FalFans.com that wound up making the team. So I think that's been mostly, you know, maybe give or take one or two people. That's been about my hit rate heading into training camp with some of these roster breakdowns the last couple of summers. So generally speaking, you know, not to toot my own horn, but you can basically take this to the bank. There's like 90% accurate. You know, I do what I do. This is why I nerd out about the roster stuff and third string position battles. A lot of this stuff that you're going to hear on today's episode, if you had listened to all 70,000 parts of that training camp series where we broke down the different position groups, you know, starting in late June and wrapping up last week with the special teams group. A lot of the stuff I'm going to say on this episode is just going to be sort of, you know, same old hat or whatever that phrase is. And, you know, you'll understand why I think the way that I think about some of these position groups. So if you haven't listened to that series, I would suggest, you know, carve out, you know, 4 days, go into a cave somewhere. And, you know, it's not going to take you 4 days. It's probably going to, I think it's about 8 hours worth of content, maybe, if I'm guessing, you know, like what, it was like 12 parts. Each part is probably like 30 to 45 minutes, something like that. I can't do math, guys. You know that when I'm talking. So, yeah, go check that out if you haven't already. Basically, there's a lot of backlog content from the month of July and late June on this podcast. So if you've basically been living under a rock for the last couple of weeks or paying attention to baseball or, you know, going over Laker murals because you hate LeBron James, as many Laker fans have done over the last few weeks, then certainly there's a lot of content for you to sort of get through to get you guys prepared for training camp. So without further ado, let's get into it. I should also say before we get started on this pre-camp edition, I also made, you know, my best guess for who the practice squad would be, but in no shape or form is that 90% accurate. I'll be lucky if I get like 20% accuracy on that. I'm shooting for 30, but you know, ideally I can get like 50% accuracy on the 10 guys or 11 guys when you count Alex Gray, but he doesn't really count, that make the practice squad at the beginning of the year. So that's pretty hit and miss, but I will be talking about some of those players and why I think some of those guys will be making the practice squad anyway. So let's jump into it, starting with the quarterback group. I had Matt Ryan and Matt Shaw making the roster, Kurt Binkert as the practice squad guy, beating out Garrett Grayson for that third quarterback spot. But won't be carrying three quarterbacks on the roster. I think that's really a luxury at this point in time that the Falcons don't necessarily afford. You know, I talked about when that quarterback breakdown, I don't expect Bankert. I don't expect Grayson to have come in here and look like, you know, a young John Parker Wilson or a young Dominique Davis, or going all the way back to the Doug Johnson years where some guy sort of comes in and lights it up right away and it looks like a piece that you can develop for the future. But I expect Bankert to sort of win that battle of the two. I know there's still a lot of Falcon fans that feel like Matt Schaub should be on the bubble or is on the bubble. He's not, as I explained in that previous episode. You know, yeah, is he overpaid? Sure. But it's by like a relatively small percentage. It's like, you know, he's making $4.5 million instead of $2.5 million or something like that. Like $2 million here or there isn't killing the Falcons. It's not going to be the difference between winning the Super Bowl or losing the Super Bowl this year, guys. And speaking of that, you know, Matt Schaub's not going to lose this battle to some rookie or a Garrett Grayson type of quarterback. You know, I know people judge Matt Schaub by that last year he had as a starter in Houston and think that's sort of the defining trait. But when you actually look at the numbers, and I'm not suggesting that he's better than some of these guys I'm about to name, but from a career standpoint, he's put up, at least when you look at his adjusted net yards per attempt, which is probably, you know, the best metric to judge quarterbacks, you know, over the course of a career or over the course of a number of years that necessarily didn't line up in the same period of time. As far as his Anya goes, adjusted net yards per attempt, he's had a better career than Carson Palmer, Matt Stafford, Cam Newton, Brett Favre, Eli Manning, Donovan McNabb, Jim Kelly. The list goes on and on. Again, is Matt Schaub better than all those guys? No, but he's put up better numbers. And the point is that like he's not going to lose a battle. He's not going to come out here and pull a TJ Yates or a Chris Redman and just tank because that, you know, he's basically not a backup caliber quarterback, a number two caliber quarterback. Like those guys arguably weren't, or at least when they were, you know, it's for fleeting moments. They're not necessarily polished as Matt Schaub is, who's, you know, won 51% of his starts over 90 plus starts in the league. So it's a veteran quarterback. He's going to be just fine, guys. And I think the Falcons, knowing that, you know, if they lose Matt Ryan, which isn't likely, but if they lose Matt Ryan for a couple of games, Matt Schaub gives them the best chance of winning those games, certainly over a player like Bankert or Grayson. So there's that. Running back position, you have, you know, no surprises here. Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Ito Smith, and the fullback being Ricky Ortiz. If you've been listening to me the last several weeks, you know I've been firmly on the Ortiz is probably the front runner. We'll see if one of those guys, whether it's Ortiz or Marks or McNitt, win the job, whether the Falcons scour the waiver wire at the end of August, early September for a more proven veteran option. We'll see. As I've said a number of times, this is at the running back positions. This should be the summer of Ito. He should get a large amount of work in the preseason. He should take advantage of that amount of work during the preseason. And, you know, we'll see if any of the other running backs sort of emerge now that they'll probably also get a relatively high amount of workload, you know, with the fact that the Falcons are basically going to probably not play Devontae or Tevin Coleman very often in the preseason because they don't necessarily need to prove themselves. So I had Malik Williams making the practice squad. I've talked about him, and I think the fact that he might be a little bit ahead of the other guys in terms of pass protection should or could give him a potential leg up in winning a roster spot. Now, I do want to talk about maybe some of the other guys that will be rising up, as it were, to make this Falcons roster in 2018. But speaking of rising up, you guys should check out BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, you know they work twice as fast as any pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity rises up. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no more waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than any pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, my friends, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Now, with the wide receiver position we talked about, Falcons will probably keep six guys. I have Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley, Justin Hardy, Russell Gage, and Marvin Hall, making it as the six guys. I have Dontez Bird as the practice squad guy. You look at this group, I think Reggie Davis and Marvin Hall, you know, there was a part of me that wanted to flip those two guys, but I went with Marvin Hall. He's my guy, so I'm going to ride or die with Marvin Hall at that position group. We'll see if any of the other wide receivers sort of emerge potentially, but looking ahead, I think those are the six guys in Dontez Bird. We've talked about multiple times on this podcast over the last couple of months as a guy that could be a star, or not necessarily a star, but a sort of training camp preseason phenom, just because it seems like from a skill set standpoint, he stands out a bunch from this group. But we'll see if that, you know, he lives up to those expectations. As is often the case, the guy that you're, you know, there's been many times in past summers where I've been high on a guy, you know, that the Falcons picked up in undrafted free agency, and he's like the first guy they cut. You know, so we'll see if that winds up happening. Tight end position, no surprises here. Hooper, Saubert, Paulson making the roster. I had Troy Mangin and Alex Gray making it as practice squad guys. I'll be curious to sort of see who emerges as the number two going into the season, whether it's Saubert, whether it's Paulson. If I was to bet right now, I think I lean Paulson a little bit, but I, you know, that's like a 52% chance of happening, while Saubert is a 48. So it's practically a coin flip, is the point I'm trying to make. So we'll see which one of those two guys emerge. I think Mangin's blocking skills sort of gives him a little bit of a leg up in terms of potentially making the practice squad, just because I think the Falcons, you know, want to have at least somebody that is a reliable blocker, and Paulson's, you know, basically a one-year sort of stopgap, and, you know, having another guy like Mangin potentially waiting in the wings that can potentially be elevated to the roster in 2019 makes a lot of sense. Offensive line wise, I went back and forth on this one. In my previous version, I had Daniel Brunskill making the team as the 10th offensive lineman. But eventually I sort of relented on that, you know, quasi bold prediction. I'm a big fan of Brunskill. I have him making the practice squad alongside Matt Gono and JC Hassenauer. You know, that basically means that the Falcons are going to keep 12 offensive linemen on the roster, which seems ridiculous, you know, when I think about it, but I like all those guys. So I feel, you know, like, you know, them cutting, you know, one or more or all three of them, you know, I couldn't do it. I didn't have the heart to do it. So I wound up having them keep carrying three extra bodies on their offensive line on the practice squad. The nine guys, I have making the roster. Of course, the starters that you expect, Jake Matthews, Andy Levitre, Alex Mack, Brandon Fusco, and Ryan Schrader. The backups being Ben Garland, Wes Schweitzer, Sean Harlow, and I have Austin Pastore making it as the swing tackle over Ty Sambrello. Basically, if you listen to the podcast for the last, 11 months, you know I'm not the world's biggest fan of Ty Sambrello. I've been, you know, I don't root for guys to lose their job, but I feel like the only reason he's on the team is because the team was desperate last year, and Pastore was injured heading into the season, and he needed a body, and so they probably overpaid for that body. I think people that think that, you know, the fact that the Falcons gave up a fifth-round pick means that they're going to be invested in Ty Sambrello beyond 2017, I think it's a little bit of a reach, and I think, you know, given that Pastore is healthy now and has been a better NFL player over the last several years, means that he should be the front runner to potentially win that spot. So, before we move on to the defensive side of the ball, I do want to plug LockedOnSports.com, your one-stop hub for the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball content. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, again, that's LockedOnSports.com, your team every day. So the defensive line was sort of where I sort of made an adjustment to basically justify relegating Daniel Brunskill from the roster to the practice squad. I wound up having the Falcons go with 10 defensive linemen. Those players were Vic Beasley, Tack McKinley, Grady Jarrett, Jack Crawford, Brooks Reed, Derek Shelby, Terrell McClain, Deidrin Sinnott, Garrison Smith, and JT Jones. And I know I mentioned on the special teams breakdown, we talked about whether the fact the Falcons need to really keep a ninth defensive lineman this year due to the fact that they have a pretty solidified eight-man rotation. We'll sort of see if all those guys make it through camp healthy and whatnot, and sort of who emerges. But I think of the, you know, the D-tackle group, I think Garrison Smith probably is the most proven guy of that group. I think JT Jones, because of what he flashed last year, is among the edge group. And I think the fact that, you know, there's been some speculation, some rumors that, you know, JT Jones might get some looks at linebacker, which is something I thought when we signed him as an undrafted free agent was going to be the case last year, but he wound up playing purely as that Leo, and being handed a dirt pass rusher. But I think if he does get some of that work and does get some more work on special teams this summer as opposed to last summer, then he certainly will, you know, be pushing for a roster position. As I said in that special teams breakout, if JT Jones is going to make this team, he's probably going to have to play special teams this year. So we'll see how that goes. I have John Cunningham making the practice squad. And I think I had on the post-draft when I had McKendy Cheridor, but I wound up going with JT Jones over McKendy on this breakdown. So, yeah, we'll sort of see how that goes. Linebacker, six linebackers, Deion Jones, Devontae Campbell, Duke Riley, Kamal Ishmael, Foye Olukun. I switched it up this time. Instead of having Anthony Wimbush make it as the sixth linebacker, I put Richard, a.k.a. Dewey Jarvis, on the roster and had Wimbush on the practice squad. I think I had those guys flipped on the last one. And, yeah, I just think, you know, Jarvis, again, I think I probably sort of backed off on Wimbush simply because I don't really know what role he's going to play this year, whether he's going to be an edge, whether he's going to be a linebacker. I think he's probably better served as a linebacker, but again, that's sort of similar to what I thought with JT Domes last year, and we'll see if the Falcons play him as an edge. But if they do, I think I would be surprised if he's an edge and makes a team. I think he's got a shot if he's a linebacker, but I sort of backed off of that just because I have questions and put Jarvis on it. I think Jarvis's ability to play both outside linebackers positions potentially gives him some added versatility, and he's probably the most polished, at least relative to he played in the Senior Bowl. So clearly some NFL scouts thought that he was, you know, the more talented of this sort of quartet of undrafted free agents competing for that sixth linebacker spot. At cornerback, the six guys that, you know, should be no surprise to anybody: Desmond Trufant, Robert Alford, Brian Poole, Isaiah Oliver, Justin Bethel, and Bleedy Ray Wilson. I do think Bleedy Ray will make the team this year. I think the Falcons will carry six cornerbacks, just having that veteran in Bleedy Way that can, you know, play inside, outside, and as well as special teams, I think is valuable, and he'll sort of make the team as that guy that they can sort of stash on the inactive list for most of the season, and then, you know, in the event of an injury or something, that they can sort of activate like we saw last year. No practice squad guys. You know, both Leon McFadden, both Deontay Burton get cut. Talked about this in the cornerback breakdown, but the Falcons carrying only eight cornerbacks in the training camp seems low. It seems like they usually carry like 9 or 10 or more, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong on that. Safety position, the four guys I had are Ricardo Allen, Keanu Neal, DeMonte Casey, Ron Parker. Parker is one of the three guys that changed because previously I had Tyson Graham, who I now am relegating to the practice squad over some of the other undrafted guys and sort of first-year players competing for that sort of quote-unquote fifth safety spot, which is primarily going to be a practice squad role given the four guys ahead of them. Special teams, you know, Matt Bryant, Matt Bosher, Josh Harris kind of goes without saying. No offense to David Marvin, but this is probably not going to be his year to unseat Matt Bryant or Matt Bosher or anything like that. So if I was guessing, as I've said on previous episodes, I think, you know, based off of this roster prediction, I would guess that a combination of Ito Smith and Isaiah Oliver would be the punt return guy. Having Marvin Hall there also means that I think he could potentially, you know, fill in one of those shoes. So between kickoff return, punt returner, I think one of, you know, two or less, one or two of those three guys I just named, I guess, will wind up, you know, serving in that capacity, with Ito Smith and Oliver being my two front runners at that position group. So guys, there's your roster breakdown. Not much else to say, because we've been talking about basically this stuff for about 6 weeks. You know, if you've been listening for the last 6 weeks, nothing sort of overly insightful in this episode that I haven't talked about before. But, you know, for those people that have basically, you know, been living their lives and not thinking about football for the last 6 weeks, you know, congratulations, you're not a psycho like the rest of us. But B, you know, this is sort of a way to sort of catch up on sort of the things that I've been talking about since late June. And if you want to get more in depth on why I think some of the things I think about some of these position battles, by all means, again, as I said at the top, go check out the any of the number of episodes, I guess I should. So yeah, it was about 12 episodes. You know, that's at least 6 hours of content, probably closer to 8 hours of content that you guys can check out, again, wherever podcasts can be found. In the meantime, we will be back later this week. I don't know exactly which day because I'm still trying to finalize the schedule, but we'll have a couple of guests on this week to talk about the Falcons training camp and their sort of expectations going into the season. You now listen to me and my expectations for the last 6 weeks, so we'll get some other people on, some interesting guests on in the meantime to sort of give their thoughts on, you know, what their expectations are going into training camp as well as the Falcons this season. And see sort of where they're different and, you know, why they're wrong by disagreeing with me or whatever. But in the meantime, guys, you can get at me on Twitter at FalFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know in the tweet. If it is podcast related, just go ahead and send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. Facebook page is Locked On Falcons as well. The email address is LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. We also can leave a comment at LockedOnFalcons.com or FalFans.com where the show is posted daily. All right, until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.